This morning, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 8. I want to read verses 36 and 37 as our text, Mark chapter 8. We've also begun studying the Gospel of Mark in our evening services. Not everybody is here for those messages. But I certainly have enjoyed studying the book so far. We've only looked at chapter number 1, but those messages are on the website if anyone was interested in going there and listening to them. Also, we just concluded our study of the book of 1 Peter on Wednesday, past Wednesday, and we studied it for a number of weeks, and those are also some very good and applicable messages that are also on our website, so make use of those if you desire to. But here in Mark chapter 8, let's read beginning at verse 36. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I want to preach on a relatively simple subject this morning, but one I trust will be both thought-provoking and spiritually challenging. Most people in their lives have plans and goals that they would like to accomplish. I'm sure there are things that you hope to accomplish in your life. But upon accomplishing your goals, upon fulfilling your plans, I would ask you this question, and then what? And that would be the title of my message here this morning, "And Then What?" But before we get into the message, let's pray. Lord, bless this message this morning. Might it help us, might it be spiritually challenging to each of us who are saved and even maybe someone who's lost. And Lord, might it be thought-provoking and help us to examine our own lives to see whether or not we are living them for the things that really matter. So bless in the message. May Jesus be exalted and may each of your people receive help and edification. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in our text, Jesus asks a question. He asked, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And then he offered a follow-up question as well in verse number 37 when he says, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus often provoked thought through the means of asking a question. He asked a question in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28 when he said, "What think ye?" He asked a question and then gave a parable. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Of course, of the two sons, one said that he would not go and did. One said that he would go, but he didn't. And he asked them a question, which of the two were obedient to their father? And of course, it was the one who said that he wouldn't go, and yet he went. Nonetheless, Jesus, though, asked questions both at the beginning and at the end of this parable to provoke thought, to get those who were in his audience to think about their own lives. In Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 42, Jesus asked the question, "What think ye of Christ," that is the anointed one or the Messiah, "whose son is he?" Of course, he asked the question knowing how they would most likely respond, and they said, "He's the son of David." And then he asked another question, "Why then did he call him Lord?" Saying, "My Lord said unto the Lord." I think I'm quoting that correctly. But he asked a question. to provoke thought. In Luke chapter 10, when he was asked a question, as so often was the case, he asked a question in response. He said, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" He was asked, "Which is the greatest commandment?" But rather than give an answer himself, he wanted this particular individual to do some thinking on their own. And he says, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" What do you think? What's your opinion? You know, this can both be a way to learn a lot about people, and especially if you're trying to evangelize and preach the gospel to people and lead them to Christ, to see where they're at spiritually. That is, ask them a question. I think there's way too little thinking today in our society. And one of the ways that we can engage people in spiritual truth, one of the ways that we can help them to find the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior is by asking them questions. I think there's been a lot of people who have been led to the Lord as a result of someone asking, "If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity?" Others have asked the question, "If you were to die and to stand before the Lord, and He were to ask you, 'Why should I let you into heaven?' what would your response be?" Those questions have been asked by evangelists for decades. And asking questions can be a good means of getting other people to think about eternity and their own soul. Our text is also an example of using an extreme to make a point. I often tell you that sometimes I use exaggeration to make a point, and that Jesus is my precedent for that. He says here, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world?" Now that's unlikely to happen for anyone. It's unlikely that anyone will be able to, you know, assume a domain over the entire world. It's unlikely that someone will gain all the riches of the world. But even if they did, Jesus says, what shall it profit him if he loses his own soul? So what if you did gain the whole world? What if you did it? So what? Or, to keep in line with my subject and title, and then what? And then what? You know, say you were a businessman, and you started your own business. And again, that's probably something desired by many. I mean, you get to employ yourself, work for yourself, reap the rewards of all of your hard work rather than that going to someone else. And so that's an advantage in and of itself. But then what? Well, the businessman responds, "I get to employ my children and give them gainful employment." And no doubt that's an advantage to owning one's own business. I sure am appreciative to my own father who had businesses that my brother and I could work at. During our youth, we didn't have to always go to work for someone else who didn't really care a whole lot about us. But we were able to work for our dad, someone who treated us well. Okay, so you start a business, you employ yourself, you employ your children. They're able to make or have gainful employment. And then what? Most or many people begin a business not just simply to survive, not just so they can make a living and their families can make a living, but many of them want to become wealthy. You know, there's a lot of businesses today that are started simply with the desire to build that business to such a place where people will then buy it. Thereby the original business owner is able to retire. you know, I work in IT, and since it's in the medical field, there's a lot of startup companies that have add-on products that they create for EMR systems or electronic medical record systems, because every hospital and health clinic and doctor's office is purchasing or have purchased or will purchase an electronic medical record system, and many times it doesn't do everything that they want, and so they buy a particular piece of software that attaches to it so it will do what they want it to do. And a lot of those companies, what you see happening over time is, if that is actually a valuable tool and it's being purchased by multiple clinics and multiple hospitals, one of the big electronic medical record systems buys it up and just incorporates it into its system. We have used there at the clinic and hospital a GE product, and we've seen that happen with multiple companies where they're purchased by GE, incorporated into GE's electronic medical record system, and that local business owner now has become wealthy by selling his business. And so the businessman starts his own business, employs himself, employs his children, becomes wealthy, and then what? Well, the businessman responds, well, then I get to buy all the things that I want, all the things that I desire. New vehicles, a boat, a jet, a yacht. Whatever his heart desires. But then I would ask the question, and then what? Well, some businessmen have streets named after them, bridges named after them, buildings named after them. But and then what? They say, well, then I get to leave an inheritance to my children and my grandchildren when I die. Okay, but then when you die, then what? You haven't even gained the whole world, but you've amassed great wealth, left it to others, and then what? Maybe you don't aspire to be a wealthy businessman. Maybe you would aspire to be something different. Maybe an accomplished artist. Well, what does an accomplished artist seek to do? Well, they want to write songs, poems, books. Well, and then what? They want to play instruments. They want to compete at the 4-H fair and win a blue ribbon. Okay, and then what? Well, they want to go on and compete on American Idol or America's Got Talent or The Voice. And then what? Well, maybe I can win those competitions. Maybe I can move an audience to applaud and to dance and to feel good about themselves. Okay, and then what? Well, I'll sign a record deal, preacher, and sell millions of copies and play in stadiums across the world. They may even invite me to play at the Grand Ole Opry. I may get to sing with Taylor Swift and Carrie Underwood. Well, and then what? Well, I'll be inducted into the Music Hall of Fame. And then what? Well, I'll line the walls of my house with my awards and trophies and plaques. And then what? Well, when I die, they'll just buy up my music, kind of like they did Michael Jackson's music. And every other artist, when they die, their music is purchased in great volumes. Well, and then what? Maybe you don't aspire to be a wealthy businessman or an accomplished artist. Maybe you would instead desire to be a great athlete. to play a game you love, to win the Little League World Series or the highest level of your sport, to win the College World Series, to play professionally, which would be the highest aspirations of some. And then I would ask them the question, and then what? Well, preacher, I could win a gold glove. And then what? I could play in the All-Star game. And then what? Well, I could win a World Series. I could win the Super Bowl. I could win an NBA championship. And then what? Well, I could retire and be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And then what? Well, I could throw out the first pitch of future games. They'll invite me in as their honored guest. And all the people will applaud. Well, and then what? Well, maybe I'll coach, or maybe I'll be a broadcaster until my retirement. Well, and then what? Others' desires, perhaps some would consider more noble. And someone would have the goal of enlisting in the military. Join in the military. That's what they want to do. And perhaps they will survive boot camp and go on to earn stripes and honors in their military branch. But then what? And they say, well, preacher, then I'll be deployed to some other place to fight for America. And then what? Well, I'll kill lots of the enemy and protect the freedoms of America. And then what? Well, I'll stay in the service for 20 years and retire and get my retirement, and every Veterans Day I'll be appreciated. Put on my dress attire and walk in the parade. Have people shake my hand in appreciation of my service. Well, and then what? Well, then, preacher, when I die, I'll have military honors. They'll have a 21-gun salute. They'll present my widow with a flag. And then what? Of course, most people will probably never have aspirations of being a rich businessman. And if they do, probably won't succeed at it. Most of us probably don't have a lot of aspirations of being an accomplished musician or a professional athlete or a 20-year veteran. Most of us, and most people in general, simply live life for enjoyment. And for pleasure, and for self. And so for us, and for people like that, we just want to eat steak once a week, that's all. Enjoy our meals. Go on a cruise once in our lifetime. Go to the beach, stick our feet in the sand in Jamaica, Cancun, or the Bahamas. Some more daring, they just want to bungee jump off a bridge, skydive out of an airplane. And then what? At the end of that earthly pleasure, then what? In contrast to all these things, we could choose to do what the Lord would have us to do and be a disciple. Be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we choose that path for our lives, the life that we live here on earth is going to be noticeably different from the previous four or five categories that we looked at. We're most likely going to live in poverty or close to it. We'll be hated of men because of who we represent. We'll be despised sometimes by our own family members and be persecuted by our enemies. There'll be no riches, no fame, no plaques, no stars on the walkway. Just a humble, lowly life of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But to be fair, then we have to ask the question to the disciples, and then what? After a life of poverty, a life of self-denial, a life of sacrifice and in some cases suffering, then what? Well, then when we die, we're welcomed into heaven by a Savior. A Savior who says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we're welcomed by a Savior who gives to us eternal rewards that will never fade away and will never be forgotten. Now, it's not our service for the Lord that gets us to heaven, but it is our service for the Lord that gains us rewards. You know, in the end, and that's where you come to when you keep asking that question, and then what? And then what? And then what? In the end, there's only going to be one thing that matters. Or maybe I should say two things that matter. And it's not the amount of riches that you have accumulated. It's not the degree of fame that you've achieved. It's not the amount of ribbons or trophies or medals that you've obtained. It's not the level of pleasure that you've enjoyed, but it's what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ and how faithfully you have served Him. That is what this life is about. And so what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, listen to the words of our Savior when He says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The most valuable thing in all of the universe is your soul. And every one of us has a soul. There's a part of us that will live forever. And these bodies of ours, they may decay and they may grow old and they may die. And they may be buried and put in the ground and deteriorate, but our soul will continue to live. And when our soul departs from our body, it will go to one of two places. It will go to be with the Lord in heaven, or it will be separated from God eternally in the lake of fire. And boy, when you think about that, it helps to put things in their proper perspective. Because does it really matter at all what we accomplish in this life if when we die, we're separated from God forever in the lake of fire? I don't know that Jesus was anticipating a response to the question. He was just anticipating careful meditation upon it. He went on to say, "And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What would you exchange for your soul? Would you exchange worldly possessions fame and notoriety? Would you exchange your soul for those things, for riches, for wealth, for pleasure? Nobody in their right mind would. And I recognize that most here, if not all, are probably saved and born again. But if you're not saved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the most important thing in the world to you. Jesus came as the Son of God for the sole purpose of dying for our sins. And He died for each of our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins that we could be forgiven. And so the most important thing we will ever do is put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But beyond that, there's more that we need to do. After we get saved, our home in heaven is secure, but the Lord then calls upon us to follow Him. And again, as I mentioned a moment ago, that's not done in an effort to earn heaven, but it is done in an effort to glorify God. And as we do so, He will reward us in heaven. And it's hard for us to grasp what rewards in heaven might mean. So we've never been there. We don't know in whole what it is we're going to be doing throughout eternity. But I think we know enough to understand that our position in heaven, our rewards and our responsibilities in heaven will be in direct proportion to how faithfully we have served the Lord here on this earth. And by the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with having money or starting a business. I don't think there's anything wrong with having music that people appreciate or that in playing, you know, athletics or being a soldier. There's not even anything necessarily wrong with doing something that you find fun and pleasurable. However, those things have to be put in their proper perspective. We have to first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that's what the Bible tells us, and all these other things will fall into place. First, we need to be saved, and we need to serve the Lord. You know what? Then it might be that God leads us to start our own business. But things need to be in their proper order. If someone trains their children right, just in a secular, societal sense, makes them productive members of society, and yet never instructed them in the gospel, so what? What does it profit them or their children? It doesn't. We need to take care of first things first. Make sure we're saved. Preach the gospel to others. Serve faithfully the Lord Jesus Christ. Then if we want to enlist in the army, enlist in the army. Then if we want to jump off of a bridge on a bungee cord, but I don't know if you're going to want to do that after you get saved. Might be tempting the Lord too much. But you could probably go to an isolated beach and stick your feet in the sand once a year for refreshment. And I say isolated because everybody's always naked on the beach. Spend some time today thinking about that question, which is the title of my message, and then what? And then what? And by the way, ask the question to some others in your life. When you ask them, what are your goals? What are your plans? What do you hope to achieve? Then ask them, and then what? And then ask them, after they answer, and then what? And keep asking them that. Until they finally say, well, then I die and I'm buried. And then ask him, and then what? My wife asked me yesterday, and it had nothing to do with this message. She had no idea what I was preaching on. But she said, do you have goals in life? And she said that in response to a conversation we were having. I said, yes, to glorify God. Well, I said, well, does it, well, beyond that? Well, I said, to win the sinner, disciple the saved, perfect the saint, contend for the scriptures. And I said, build a pole barn. And I'm not sure where that one fits in. But I thought that was a good question to ask. Do you have goals in life? Do you have goals in life? Are you saved? If so, that will help to prioritize your goals. But I hope your goal is to glorify God. Because then when you come to the end of that series of questions, and then what? It doesn't end with you being buried in the ground. It goes beyond that. Then there's an eternity worth of rewards awaiting you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this text. Thank you for how thought-provoking it is. And Lord, I pray that each of us would think here just for a moment this morning about what our Savior asked. He said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Lord, might we not be willing to trade anything for our soul? And Lord, my prayer is that each and every person that is here in this assembly today has trusted Christ as their Savior. And if not, Lord, might today be the day of their salvation. The Bible never says that tomorrow is the day of salvation. It never says that next week or next month is the day of salvation. It says today is the day of salvation. This is a decision that should never be put off for another time and another day. And if there's anyone amongst us this morning that is not saved, help them to be born again. Show them who Jesus Christ is and help them to comprehend what it is that He's done for them. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, we still have work to do. And our work involves our service for our Savior. And God, help us to be busy about serving our Savior while it might not merit us riches and fame in this life. We know that it will merit those most precious words in the next. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, might we be fine faithful servants. So bless the message as it's went forth. Use it for thy glory and use it for the benefit of thy people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to 303, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. 303.